our day. So you want to go, what does that mean? Say our day. Say it like you mean it, our day. That's right. Today is our day. Not meaning our day, as in O-U-R. I'm having fun with the word. It's actually R, the letter R, day. It's like Sesame Street. Today's letter, boys and girls, is R. Because I was praying and reading and studying, and the words that begin with the letter R started jumping out at me. And so every time I hit one of those special R words, I'm going to clap on one of those special R words because they have significant meaning. But while I was doing my preparation for this message today, as you know, we're starting a new series this month on healthy biblical families, relationships, and marriages. And that's what all month is going to be dedicated to. But as before we go into a new series, God always has us lay a foundation to before we go into these things. Because everybody wants, men are looking for godly women. Women are looking for godly men. And as I was going through this, I was like, God, I know that that's what people desire in their hearts. But why is it that when godly men and women find each other, they still struggle with stuff? Why do they still have problems with stuff? And then he did something very interesting. I'm about to share something with you. Anybody ever been spanked by the Lord? Well, I got a whooping. And I got a good whooping. And I'm going to share this whooping that I got with you. Because sometimes the Lord will reveal some things to you. And when he does it, the light bulb goes on. And you understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to start this off, our day, talking about Ephesians 4, and that's where I'm going to start. Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. The word says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Anybody ever been around anybody in ministry that just turned you off? Rubbed you the wrong way, said the wrong thing at the wrong time, just irritated you, and you just, the only thing that you could say was, I'm going to pray for them. Anybody ever had that happen? So, you know, so here's the thing. There was a time that I was once working with Christian couples, and I started doing this not even knowing that this is the call that God was going to move me into, probably about 10, 15 years ago. And I couldn't understand why Christian couples who know God, who love God, who serve God, who worship God, who would do anything for God, still run into trouble. I'm like, what is wrong? They have all the answers, all the tools, all the stuff, but yet they're still knuckleheads. What is this? And so I'm praying to God, and I'm like, God, why does this still happen? You're equipping your people with all the stuff. They have the word. They're singing praises. They're dancing. They love you. And you have blessed them with so much. But why do they still run into stuff? Whether you're married or not, this is good stuff, because if you want to be in a relationship, even dating or soon to be married, this is good stuff. the Lord, as I was praying, says to me, and I'll share with you what he said to me. He said, very, very plainly, for years, my people have been very confused by something. I've been trying to get their attention, but many are too busy being busy. Or trying to please me without listening to me. Confused, I went, well, God, can you explain more of this? I get what you're saying, but I know you mean more. And God said, I always look for a willing vessel. Then I place a burden in their heart, which soon becomes the call I place before them. This call is a request from me to be used by me to serve in my behalf. If they answer the call, I am pleased. If they refuse the call or miss the request, I continue looking for another willing vessel until I find the next suitable person. What happens is my children are confusing the request of my call versus obeying the requirements of my word. They place the priority on my call over obeying my word. When this happens, the family structure becomes skewed. Soon, my people are busy with my call on their life that husbands are neglecting their wives' needs. Wives are neglecting their husbands' needs. Fathers and mothers are not attentive to their children and their needs. My word is very clear as to how each are supposed to be towards each other. My word is primary. My word is the requirement. And it should be obeyed first. It was never intended that my people replace the priority from obeying my word versus answering my call. My request for the call on them is secondary to obeying my word. I originally sought them because they were placing my word as a priority in their life. Soon, this is why many of my children who know me, love me, and serve me still have struggles within their life or families. Don't they know that I have many who serve me doing exactly what I've called them to do as well? Many of the ones I call think that they are the only ones that I have. Remind them to get back to my word. And remember, their first ministry is to their families, which I have made them responsible for. Wow. So, in that browbeating, I said, God, that is awesome and that's powerful. And I understand and I get it. I said, God, you could have told me this 10, 15 years ago. This would have helped me with so much that I was doing. He said, I tried. You were busy being busy. Yeah, that's a whooping. Now, as this relates to marriages, families, those in ministry, even those who are not in ministry, let's look at the word and look at what God is talking about. You're going to hear things about God's request. You're going to hear things about requirement, great responsibility, respect, resurrection, and relationship. Ephesians 5:22, 6 through 4. It says, wives, submit to yourselves, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is as the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present herself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment or first requirement of us, with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Let's break this down, starting with wives, because that's what God starts with in his word. Ephesians 5:23-24. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. Now, this is a part that shows the wife modeling now the church, or demonstrating the pattern of a wife to the believer. The wife is modeling the church through submission and obedience. Contrary to belief, it is not the husband's job to make the wife submit. It is not his job. It's not even his place. In fact, it must be done voluntarily as it is unto the Lord. See, submitting unto the Lord, let's talk about this. Submitting unto the Lord. If you are only submitting to what you agree to, then you are not submitting. It doesn't work that way. In fact, that's almost like rebellion. Submission to human leadership is conditional, but to the Lord it is unconditional. The wife models submission to the church by her submission to her husband. Another reason why this is so important is how it affects children and what they see. Children grow up watching mom. Mom's submission to the husband and her submission into the church. They watch mom. But you know what? Why that's important? Because they got to go to school and submit to somebody. Ever have any bad kids that want to go to school and don't want to submit? Run their mouths, telling other folks what to do. See, when the wife demonstrates to the children submission to the husband, this is very critical for their spiritual development and growth. Someone in this relationship, someone in the marriage, must have a final say. And God has identified that the husband is that head. Now, let's look at husbands, the men. Ephesians 5:25-33. Let me read this again. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present herself as a radiant church, without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands, you need to love your wife as you love your own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, and after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And this is profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the husband now modeling Christ. That's what this is. The husband is to demonstrate this by having love equaling action. And guys, we understand that because all we know what to do is to do stuff. We know we like doing stuff. We will do stuff. And the stuff that we do doesn't sometimes even make any sense. But we do stuff anyway. So he knows, look, these are what men do. They do stuff. So let me give them some stuff to do that I want them to do. Because it makes sense to men. Men love by doing. Hello. This is an agape love. A what can I do for you today, love? A how can I help you today, love, or my love? The husband has more responsibility. That's why there's so much ink in the word to prove it and back it up. Did you notice the wives had a paragraph? Dudes, we had more stuff to do. It was that big. If you don't believe me about the responsibility, the husband models Christ through sacrificial love. That's verse 25. The husband models Christ through his unselfish love. That's verse 26. The husband models Christ through acceptance and fellowship. That's verse 27. The husband models Christ through self-respect. That's verse 28 and 29. And shows respect to others by how we communicate to others, or how we are supposed to properly communicate to others. The husband models Christ through unity. That's verse 30 through 33. So now we have this. God said, tell them now and explain the call. And I went, all right, God. By faith in the belief and the acceptance of death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the one is saved and becomes a member of his church. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body, not just a part, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. People, when this happens, that is the sign of a healthy church. That is a true sign of a healthy church. And that's what he intends for us. Ephesians 5:22 through 27. Read this part. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, and to present herself holy and radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. Why do I keep reading this over and over and over? Because we're breaking down the word, but I'm going back to the word so you can see how it is and as it's written in the word. So when we break it down, when you go back and read it on your own, these things pop out at you. As we look at the roles of husband and wives, it is conceivable that the church is only as healthy as the marriages that are in it. Because your marriage reflects Christ and the church. The Greek word for church is ecclesia, which means the ones, the called out ones. You, the church, the body, this body, you are the called out ones. That is the purpose of us coming here and gathering. It is not about me doing something for you. It is about you coming here and getting energized, trained up, built up, filled up to go be the called out ones, the ecclesia, and getting out there and getting something done for him. The first truth of being called is that we have been called out of the world in its influence and called into relationship with God. We belong to him. There are two phases of our call. First of all, we are called into the family of God. Amen. And secondly, many are called into personally a unique place of service in the body of Christ. Those are what God gives you with special gifts and things and places to be used by God. Many of you in here have unique special gifts that God has given you or placed a call on you to do something. And he says, I need you to go do this. And you're like, I'm there, God. Let's go. I'm ready. God has promised that the world to come will be subject to the man. That's what it says in Hebrews 2:5-8. It says, It is not angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there's a place where someone has testified. What is mankind and that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is subject to them. Yet, at the present, we do not see everything subject to them. The place that we will have in the future is directly linked to how well we answer the call of God today. Revelations 2:26-27, it says, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give them authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. Therefore, it is important to clearly understand that all the implications of what it really means to be called by God and answer that type of a call. First of all, understand that your call is not at random. It is a holy calling from God himself, and it is centered in his purpose. Ecclesia, do you understand? 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works or what we want, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Your call is also time dependent. Since we were called according to God's purpose for our generation, it is a time of revival, resurrection, and restoration. Romans 8:29-30. For those whom he, God, foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed in the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Who will choose to serve or choose to reject God? God's foreknowledge of one's choice became the forerunner of his call. Those who choose the way of God, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. The Lord calls them to serve. The Lord called them to serve. When they respond to this call, he justifies them and they become his children. And in his time, he will glorify them. Now let us consider Paul as described in Galatians 1, 15 through 16. The word says, "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being." Paul was set apart from his mother's womb. God's foreknowledge. Paul was called and justified by the grace of God on the road to Damascus. The call of Paul was to be an apostle to the Gentiles. It is not our place when God puts a call on you to then tell God how, when, and where you're going to handle that call. You want to mess up your home front? Walk in that. We do not have a right to choose how or where we will serve God or answer that call. Because if it's God, eventually our call, your call, will be made known through and confirmed by the church body. This was true for Paul as we read his testimony. Acts 22:10. "What shall I do, Lord?" I love that. He just starts out, "What shall I do, Lord? Because, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know. I may not have all the answers, but I kind of need you to give me a little direction here and guidance here. What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that has been assigned to you." Here's the key. God calls us, we respond. The church confirms and releases us, and the Holy Spirit sends and anoints us. This is how we are called to serve him. You don't do this on your own. I believe that the Lord is now preparing his church for a great final ingathering of souls into the kingdom. But see, as darkness continues to grow in this world, I believe that his glory is going to rise upon the church. It's going to rise upon, and I don't mean the church, the building or the churches. I'm talking about ecclesia. The church body, his people who are called to go do stuff. His glory is going to rise upon that. It's not about those few gifted ministries that we might see. Even if they have evidence of powerful signs and wonders and workers, it's not about that. It's not about any great, big, bad, wonderful pastors or preachers. It ain't about them, because they ain't nothing either. They're just serving people just like you are. It's really rather about the glory of many members of the body. The multi-denominational thing where Jesus is gloriously worshipped, praised, and at the center of everything. This is how we defeat the enemy. The enemy that works so hard dividing God's people. Sundays must pain him. Wouldn't it be great if it was a citywide, nationwide, worldwide corporate worship thing and we all were just kind of doing? That's what I see happening. See, God has a purpose to fill the earth with his glory and bring the great harvest of souls before the day of his judgment. The body, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is the tool by which God will carry out his plan. However, this will require the church body, the ecclesia, to be fully committed to the purpose of God and his word. Fully committed to the purpose of God and his word. Where each believer properly embraces the call that God has placed on his or her life. What are those requirements? He gave them to us so simply long time ago. Told Moses, bring these out, share these with the people, and if they do this, everything's going to be straight. But man's a little thick-headed. Doesn't like to listen to God all the time. So how do we do this? What are the requirements? First requirement, well, maybe we should read the word. Study the Bible. Just read the word. Because in his download to me, what did he say? His word is primary and nothing comes before it. My word is primary, is what he told me. Not your ministry, not this, not that. My word. If you follow my word, you're going to be okay. Everything will fall into place. Follow my word. So, read the word. Number two, how about obeying his laws and his commandments? Second requirement. We all know them. You shall have no other gods before me. You should not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, I am a jealous God. And visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. How about you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless to who takes his name in vain. How about remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, as a nation, we blow this one all the time. Department stores, those are the days that they want to capitalize on church folks because they know y'all are off and all after church going to be out doing stuff. So everybody does it. We've become a nation where we don't rest. I'm guilty. Work 7 days a week. I'm guilty. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Do we follow his word, or are you doing your own thing? You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens on the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The word does not say, well, if the work that you're doing is for God, then it's okay to disregard it. Doesn't say that. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Keep your eyes fixed on your own stuff. In other words, I'm going to take care of all that you need. Focus on me and you're going to be straight. The minute you wander someplace else, looking someplace else, feeling someplace else, you're going to be in trouble. If man could follow these things, we really probably wouldn't need man's laws and rules. Number three of God's requirements. How about know the basic principle of the law of God? Romans 13:10 says, love does not harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Number four, get to know Christ. Hello. It's amazing to me how many people say they know who Christ is, but they really don't after you talk to them. Because you can tell what comes out of them. Someone who knows Christ, who walks with Christ, who has a relationship with Christ, they don't act or react the same way that somebody who doesn't have them inside does. It's very different. It's very, very different. I'm talking about a close relationship with Christ. See, many Christians even say that they know him and love him, but don't really have an intimate relationship with him. See, Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Well, there's the first lesson. Learning to be gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Number five, have a daily, deeper prayer life. It amazes to me how many people who say they know, love, worship, serve God, Christians, who don't pray and are afraid to pray. There are people in here who, if I said, come up here and pray, they would be like, oh, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. No, you need to be excited. Be like, I'll do it. Let me do it. Let me pray and be thankful. Let me show somebody and be joyous about what God has done. Let me pray over people. Let me, because you've been delivered from something. You've been set free from something. You need to, when you pray, you are just being in a place of a humble, servant, gentle, obedient. And that's why we raise our hands, because we are just saying, God, I release all that I am and who that I am, and I'm surrendering it all to you, and I'm giving it all to you. Take it, fill me, use me. And when he does, you start speaking to him, you get closer to him. Prayer can bring you to that place. Don't be afraid to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. Yeah. Here's his word right there. I love it. The scripture was longer than the word. Pray continually. Number six, attend a good Bible believing church. Hebrews 10:24 through 25, the word says, And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I love that. Spur, to me, it should have said kick or slap, because I need that kind of stuff. But that's when you spur somebody into something. Spur them towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. See, as soon as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. See, I love that because it says as we spur people towards love and good deeds, not to give up on meeting with each other. This is what we're doing. We are meeting together, Ecclesia. Number 7, tithe to the Lord's work. We need to look at this differently. When we tithe and when we give, it's not me. It's not coming to me. You're tithing to the Lord's work, the things that he's doing and the things that he's doing to advance the kingdom of stuff that he's got going. It has nothing to do really with the people. Yes, we have to, but it is the Lord's work to keep the lights on. It is the Lord's work to keep air in the building. So while you're in here, you know, you can be pleasant and listen to his word. You know, these are those things. But it also is of his work to build up stuff in here so we can put on a big ministry for something that can bring folks in who don't know who he is. Like, for instance, this past weekend, yesterday, a group of us got together and did the sock ministry under the bridge. And put together socks and care packages of toothpaste, toothbrushes, shampoos, and soaps, and handed these things out to the folks under the bridge. That's God's work. That's what stuff goes to. When you put it in the house, that's what we're going out and doing. And will you believe? Susan came to me yesterday, and she said she went up to somebody and asked them for prayer. And the person said, "What is prayer?" You think that we've done a good job in spreading the gospel everywhere we can, when right here in our own backyard, we have someone who doesn't know what prayer is, has never heard the gospel. We're not done yet. We are so not done yet. Number 8. Serve the Lord by the giving of yourself. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Worship team, come on up. And number 9, the last one. Refuse to partake in any of the old sins which God has already delivered you from. Did you hear me? Refuse to go back to that old stuff that he already brought you out of. You all know and can remember what you was doing before you came to know Christ. Where you were hanging, who you was hanging with. Y'all know what spots you used to associate, the places you used to call, well, that's my spot. We going to hang out at this spot. Y'all know those spots. You see, they're creeping up in your mind now. You know what I'm talking about. You know. If he brought you out of that mess, why would you ever want to run back to that? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." In your life, why don't we all stand? In your life. In your relationships, in your marriage, Are you following God's requirements of you, or are you following His requests of you? Do you need to put some things back in order? Or maybe you're just busy being busy, like I was. See, if you're busy being busy, then He wants to slow you down. Because when you slow down and you're not so busy trying to work 7 days a week and trying to do all these things in the ministry that He's called you to, or the life that He's given you, or the responsibilities that He's placed before you, when you slow down, you get to hear Him clear. He speaks to you. And then when He speaks to you, then you're like, oh, when we get so busy, the first thing we put aside is Him. That time. We need that time. We need that quiet time. We need that intimate time. We need that worship time. We need that one-on-one time. We need that time. It's so vital. If that is you today, you've been worried about God's request of you versus doing His requirements, then we want to pray for you. And if you need to get some things back in order, and you need to slow down and just rest in Him, things are out of whack, then I want to pray for you. And if you were like the young man we met yesterday, who just doesn't understand what all this stuff is, doesn't understand who God is and the power of receiving Him into his life, we want to pray for you. If that's you and you need prayer, as we worship, make your way on down to the altar. Our prayer teams and ministers will come and pray for you. God bless you.
Became